We're in the closing verses of Romans 3. Last Sunday, I started a message, didn't finish it. The Greek of the verse says, you've seen it enough to have it memorized. Pou un hi kalkisis. Where then is the boasting? Exeklaisthi. It's excluded by oyu wat nomu, the Greek word translating the Old Testament word Torah. But this is, as Paul wrote it, and nomu in its history in the Greek language allows a variety of interpretations. I've said this so often, I don't want to bore you with a repeat, but in the most ancient of Greek literature, in the origins of the people, nomu was given personal divinity, just like DK and Zeus, which comes from the same Sanskrit word as theos that we have in the Greek for God. It was personalized. Then as the philosophers took over, it became an impersonal principle or some floating ideas of reality that represent perfection. It then moved into a state where the state as a people, not just a state of being, moved into a state of being where the state, the organization of the people, called the polis, from which we get political, was deified until a divine note again was put on nomu, namely the laws of the state. Now there are those around the United States that believe that the government is divine. So this isn't an old idea only. It's also present in today's world. There are plenty of people that feast on our tax dollars, forget God, would wipe churches out of cities, and tremendously dislike the restraints of the Constitution that was not allowed to be signed, activated, and thus the government not allowed to come into existence until, in the wonderful words of Jefferson, certain inalienable rights which only God can give, were ingrained in the Bill of Rights, and that restraint was supposed to be upon government that they didn't have certain rights that only God could give. But that's lip service in today's world, and if there was a chance for people to vote on the First Amendment or not, I don't want anybody else coming through that door to sit. I've given the orders many times. They sit over there. I just saw somebody crawl in back there. I mean, do I speak the English language or what?
Yes, sir.
There are no exceptions.
Yes, sir.
They're allowed to come in late. I sympathize with them because of the traffic problem today. But your job is to get them fast, running if necessary, over to this side of the building where it's dark and I'm not distracted by them coming in.
Yes, sir.
If they go to a restroom, they lose the opportunity of coming back in that door. House rules. Is there anything new in this? So what's your problem? Bring your brain next time you come.
Yes, sir.
I don't say too much about, and today I'll not even talk about my condition. I've already talked to the people about it. I'm living by faith.
Yes, sir.
Perhaps some usher could help that invalid person there get past the door. There's someone coming in on a cane. You want to turn around and look?
Yes, sir.
I didn't need that speech, sir, because I just saw her walk by not handled. So you want to take that position, Joe, and sit him down, whoever he is? I just gave you an order and got an excuse. Who are you? Well, you got a lot to learn, Blaine. So go sit down. Maybe someone else would like the experience. Again, I do not understand them bringing when I just told the ushers to bring them in over here. Didn't I?
Yes, sir.
Now they're bringing a person on a cane right in there. Do you want to go deal with the ushers, baby? Maybe you'd like, in my condition, for me to just dismiss this service.
No, sir.
Do you want to go free my wife so she can come back? And you want to get across to these ushers, and you too, Ed?
Yes, sir.
I do not like being disturbed in the first place, and I like considerably less telling them what to do, and they just defy me. You sit where you're told to sit when you come here, or you don't come here. This is a college classroom. I'm the professor. Maybe you would like to get up here and try to put three or four languages together and no notes and somehow compress it into the time allotted with distraction. Those are the house rules, and the ushers are supposed to support them. I don't like my wife having to leave the platform because somebody back there is too cowardly to enforce my rules.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, I have 100 and almost 170 people volunteering as ushers. Do you understand why I need 170 volunteers? I have old guard people that are comfortable and long ago quit doing what I've told them to do. They do what is convenient for them. We had a crisis for me. I'm late. The service started late. I ordered a man that loves preeminence. It's just like any other social area. There are those that come along with the spirituality of a McDonald's box. But they appoint themselves big shot, and they help to the point of irritation. Any of you remember the horse we had that could have won the greatest number of world champions anywhere, Zeus?
Yes, sir.
Zeus and more the merrier. You could never get him to wear the harness. Career gone. Now, the beauty of Zeus, we were able to de-testosterone him. We have a guy that always is going to jump to put himself in front of the aisle, in front of the row. He was ordered to sit today, sit in the service. He needs to sit in the service. Phone rings and everybody lets him go answer it. He was ordered out of the truck. Sit in the service means you stay away from the truck. But they can't do it without me. So he's answering the phone. Two right nows. Somebody occupying the alley that we have, it's ours, we own it. On Sunday, more than 15 years, by two city resolutions, that alley is ours and you are trespassing if you go in it. Doesn't matter if you're a neighbor. Access to the building must be allowed, but you can't park or work in that alley. That alley belongs to us on Sunday morning. That's one. Number two, we were told these street closures that affected entrance to this church would be gone before the service started. They sat on the information about the alley last night, sat on the information this morning. Mr. Know-It-All and I'm in charge, when he was sat down, everybody timidly lets him answer the phone, and he tells us nothing. Four or five people that know where to go with a right now, he did nothing. I'm telling you, folks, I will win my personal battle of faith. Me and God will work it out. I need your prayers. But I don't need wild horses jumping into positions in this church. It won't matter a whit to me to shut the doors and go right back to King's House 1 and make sure that whomever I have there respects the rules of the house and the ushers do what I tell them to do. Now, Joe, I don't want you going home until you deal with Blaine. He's a good man. But he is going to learn he's not self-employed in this job.
Yes, sir.
I have just written on the board in Arabic what is already here in Greek, Romans 3:27. Where is the boasting? It's excluded. By what law? The one of works? No. Uki? Well, no, that's uki. I could use that in the English language. Somebody says they want you to do something that is horrendous at the thought of doing it. Just say, uki. No, absolutely not. Allah, but, dia through or by. Again, the word nomu. The law of faith. 80% or more of the modern translations want to change this word law and put in principle. Then by substituting principle, they have done essentially, they've rendered law powerless, separated it from the revelatory stream of the Old Testament, and given themselves wide range of interpreting what it is that removes boasting in self. Indeed, if you make it a principle, you can start boasting in your knowledge of the principle. So I wrote on the board the translation in the early centuries into the Hebrew last Sunday, where it is very clearly Ve'ata. And now, i.e., where, tihala, from halal, where then is the shining? That's the real meaning of halal. Where is the shining? It is collared like a dog, segura. She is here by, I had to correct this word and put it down here, by Batorat, dropping the he, putting the T on the end, by Batorat, by the Torah. No question in the minds of the early translators, Pharisees won over to Christianity in the book of Acts. No question. What Paul is talking about is the Torah. He's not talking about some principle. He's talking about the Torah. And Torah is a unique kind of law. It is a law God gives. Nomos had that quality when the state was deified. Thus, God, the state, the polis, passed the laws. Early on, Nomu had the status of being a subordinate agent of the words of Zeus. And Dike, the other goddess, was the enforcer of the law, which was embodied in Nomu. He was the mouthpiece of Zeus, as Aaron was the mouthpiece of Moses. And when he spoke the law, Dike enforced it. But it became a principle, which is what modern Christianity is trying to do with it today. And that's the purpose of going to these cross translations before modern Hellenizing of Christianity and philosophizing of the truth that was revealed from God and cannot be discovered by man. It's God-given law. Therefore, we could say, where then is the boasting in self? We know that from the previous verses. The translations make it more clear by saying, your boasting in yourself and your works. It's excluded by what Torah, or by what God law, the one of works? Well, the one of works was certainly God's law, a covenant given by Him, in which if you did it, it was works, you lived, and if you didn't, you died. It was no less a God law. Paul has to return to that periodically. The law's good. It's like a good husband in the 7th chapter of Romans that can't bend down to help you without compromising itself. The law was good. Powerless. But it was God-given. That doesn't preclude boasting in self. If anything, you have a neat little ability to reduce that law down and shut out certain things you haven't done or can't do, and then kid yourself into thinking, you're doing it, and that's why you boast. And that's the boasting Paul was talking about. That's eliminated by what God law? The one of works, ergon. That was God's law. But that didn't eliminate boasting, it made boasters. Boasters who first reduced the standard to their own performance, and then flaunted themselves like the Pharisee. I thank my God, I'm not like this publican. By what law? God law. By what God law? The one of works? It was of God, but didn't eliminate boasting. No, uki. But through the God law, the nomu as God's nomu, the Torah of faith, and I illustrated it with the Hebrew. Where's the boasting? It's collared like a dog. By what Torah? By Torah? Yeah. What? Am? If perhaps, and then I carried it over to this page, which makes it hard for me to follow. If perhaps, be phalim, works of you in the plural? No, not possible, like loami and lo rahama. Low in front of a, low means just like ah in front of pistis. You put low in, it's no. Not, but ki, rather am, betorat, by Torah, amunah, amunah, by the law of Amen, by the Torah of Amen, by the God-given law of faith. I've added the Arabic today. Other languages are not as relevant because of a word that is as familiar to you, if you think about it, with sacred overtones and only God ordained as the Torah. Fayena. And where? Or now where? Al-Mufakhra. The boasting. In Sadat, it is kicked out of the park, a soccer language word. Now, I've covered this with you. This is just review up to this point. It's kicked out of the park. It's kicked out. Shut out. But it's more like kicked out. It's kicked out. Biyata. By what? By what? Sharia. Sharia. You remember that word? Sharia. It has the holy overtones of Torah. The whole Muslim world wants to redress the world. And there's no difference between government. That's the idiocy of thinking you can just superimpose democracy, assuming as the assumption of democracy, which, by the way, this country was not founded as a democracy. It was founded as a federal republic, which is different. I haven't got time to go into that philosophic political history, but it never was founded as a democracy. That's why you have the Bill of Rights. Democracy, majority rules. Democracy is a hellish kind of tyranny without protection of minorities, which the Bill of Rights gives. This country was never a democracy. It shows how empty-headed and idiotic some of our present leaders are who use these emotive words without even understanding the philosophy behind and the brilliance of the founders of this country. You don't start and think you can impose democracy and say, with democracy, the people know what's best. The devout Muslim's going to say to you, you're crazy. The people don't know anything. Allah knows what's best. And only through his mullahs, the clerics, we get Allah's orders. There's no difference between government and no difference between state and religion. Religion rules the state. You've got a theocracy. Sharia is the law given holy overtones that the Taliban enforced. Sharia is why hundreds of thousands of soldiers cannot move the people of Iraq. A Shiite cleric can fill the streets because he speaks from understanding Sharia. Sharia is divine law. They have a different word for ordinary law. So does the Hebrew. So when they translate, just like the Hebrew back from the Greek, there is no question in those early days what Paul was meaning by nomu. He wasn't meaning principle. He was meaning the God-ordained Torah, the one of works that had ruled until Christ came, fulfilled it and set it aside, had it nailed to the tree as he made that law incarnate in himself, and that body of regulations was nailed to the tree. The Jewish translators understood perfectly the Torah of works was excluded by the Torah of Amen. Likewise, I repeat, first 3.5 years of Paul's ministry was in Arabia. And where the boasting, it's kicked out by what? Sharia. And they repeat Sharia with the preposition, by Shariat, by the law, Mahal works. By the law of Al-Amal? No. No, simple in the Arabic. Lo. Just like the Hebrew. Lo. No. But they add, emphatically, absolutely not. Al-Batat. Bel, but. By. The preposition again, by Shariat, the Shariat, Al-La-Muna, you recognize it? Al-Amuna, same word as the Hebrew, Amuna, the law, the Sharia of the Amen, of the Amen. You say, well, you know, why don't you just tell us what it was? That isn't my style. You look at it yourself. Both the Hebrew and the Arabic eloquently put the exclamation mark, what eliminates the God ordained, doesn't eliminate the law. What sets aside and eliminates boasting of your performance in the law of works, which no one has been able to do except Christ who fulfilled it. We therefore, standing before the law, have no reason to boast. I submit this is not a first century message. You would be hard-pressed to find a church in this city or any other city you could enter that isn't going to tell you you're saved by faith, but you walk worthy of the calling. You will be hard-pressed to attend a church that isn't filled with food inspectors who will tell you as they carve and connivingly and craftily distort Scripture. Well, it's a sin to judge, and I'm not judging, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and I'm self-appointed fruit inspector. You will not find churches simply willing to accept you for a blossoming childlike faith in Christ and what He's done and the worth of His blood. Indeed, you will find churches that still won't let you come to the communion table unless you examine yourself to see if you're worthy. That's why He died. None are worthy. That's why He came to fulfill the law and move the impossible yoke off of us. The law of works. That's why Paul says that law served only one purpose as a schoolteacher, a mirror to be held up, to make us come to the realization this as a standard of godlikeness. I can't rise to the level. I can't do it. I'm in that band. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm facing death eternal and can only cry from my heart, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. and joyously accept. But now, the earlier verses in Romans, but now there's a righteousness chasms away from the law of works. Not only is boasting excluded, you need to rise to the level, I can't do it, I'm undone, woe is me. Then, like a lost man who knows he's lost, you can be found. The hardest people to get to with this message, it's why it's hard in America, enculturated Christians, those that have been raised in the church and fed by honest, loving parents and Sunday school teachers of error and a church social structure that somehow or other we make it in by being good and not being bad. And Jesus will not love you if you do this. And Jesus will love you only if you do that. It's created a generation of hypocrites, legalists, prideful, boasters, that in their heart of hearts they think they have standing before God better than those that don't do as they do. And it's a life of do this and don't do that, do and nothing. Or the ones that are really sensitive and aware just throw up their hands and leave. No. There is another law, and it is a Torah of faith. It is a Torah of amen. It is a Shariat of Alaman, Alamunna. It is a law of faith. I don't have to go back and do this again. I want you to understand as I move on in the message. These are not two parts of the same law. They are exclusively and mutually exclusively separate laws given by God, divinely ordained, a covenant that has rewards and punishment, has the opportunity for tzedekah or righteousness, which is keeping covenant. God's a covenant-making God. We deal not with some abstract reality out there. We deal with a person. That's what separates Israel's religion in the New Testament, where he moved into a tent of human flesh and said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. Do as I say. There can be no covenant in silence. I did a PhD minor in comparative religions, studied under the replacing person, Dr. Kishimoto, of the leading Buddhist scholar in the world, Anasaki, Dr. Spiegelberg, who headed the department, greatest Vedanta Indian philosopher, probably alive at his time, that is the seedbed of philosophic thought out of which all the streams of Buddhism have grown, the Vedanta faith. Their worldview is totally opposite. Ultimate reality is nothing. The ultimate religious experience is an unconscious state where you identify with the that which is behind all that. The Hebrew Christian stream is diametrically opposite. It is a dealing with a person who is creative, a person who covenants, a person who is faithful, a person who is real, and a person in all those dimensions who speaks. What would our relationships be without speaking, even if it's the silent type of hands. There's no covenant in silence, if I expand that word silence to mean any means of communication. I was reading this past week of a way in which nurses and comfort people communicate with a person in a total stroke that cannot speak but can do something. Whatever part of his body he can do, they build a talking board where they develop symbols. It's our nature. We were created in His image. We're talkative. Most of the time we use the talking the wrong way to justify and support ourselves. I talked through Ephesians. Blessed God. Blessed be God's the way they'll translate it, as if we're in any position, the lesser to bless the, in that sense, the superior. That was not a verbal painting we spread on God. It was a statement of His nature. Just as I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm the Lord that provides. I'm the Lord that shepherds. I'm the Lord that speaks. I have chosen this medium to bless my people. They will be blessed through words. Words, which has caused some Jewish scholars to elevate the Torah above its position to where they had the Torah speaking before God was speaking. A cultic extension of a basic truth. God was in the beginning. But He was a speaking God. And it's not by accident John opens in his first chapter saying, in the beginning was the Logos. Translated word, interestingly enough, because there's another in the Greek, there's a synonym for logos, which is hrema. And hrema is the basis for the German word for word, basis for the English word for word, but it is used distinctively separate in the Old Testament, but as a synonym in the Greek translation, and logos becomes the basis. It's like ekklesia in the Greek is outcalled ones, but it's translated church, which comes from Kyriakon, which means the Lord's. We play those tricks in the flow of the language. But Rhema and Logos are close enough. It's spoken word. It's communicating by words. It's dialogue. And in the beginning, the one who could tell us all that we need to know about God, the Logos, was with the God, O Theos, and was of the same essence, but turned from facing God, struck a tent in human flesh, and became the living word and the spoken word, to become the preached word and the written word, to become the implanted word and hopefully the engrafted word, as it has power to change. Words are important. That's why you've seen me lament. There is no skill of mankind that ought to be perfected more than listening. And yet it's the one skill we have no formal training in. Just because you have eyes doesn't mean you can read. Just because you have a mouth doesn't mean you can speak with words that are intelligent. Just because you have fingers doesn't mean you can write. And just because you have ears doesn't mean you can listen. What have you thought of since I said the word listen? And that'll tell you. A moron can listen four times faster than I can talk. I talk 178 words a minute. A genius can listen to 1,500 words. Look at the differential in time. There are experiments that show you listen properly, your temperature goes up, you break into a sweat, you fight the tendency to let your mind wander. You memorize the sentences as they go along. God's a speaking God. The problem is His creation has quit listening. It's the way He blesses us with His Word. It's the way He communicates with his word. And we, why do you think the Romans letter is heralding at the outset, akouo in the Greek, the hearing of faith? To the Galatians, Paul said, received you the Spirit, God's life in you, by the works of the Torah, the works of the law, or by the hearing, akoui, of faith, pistios. These words, God determined and said it as part of His nature. He has chosen to bless us by words. He's written a will, an Old and New Testament, to guide us. Words. That's why I have spent my life digging, unpacking, pulling the covers of tradition and reported meanings and changes through history of this wonderful word that gives us His will for us, unfolds His everlasting love to us, gives us His promises, and lets me know nothing is prized by Him more than finding those of us under this new law of Amen, this new law of faith, than those of us that will listen, run to the voice of the Sayer, obedience in its real meaning, obe to run to, and I've been over this, and deans from the Latin words to say, run to the voice of the Sayer. Some of you who know my condition may wonder, what am I to do now? I know the source of life and blessing. I know that He has said He speaks those blessings through His word. I run to the voice of the Sayer. And hope I can qualify to the question, who? He amens the hearing of us. I don't care what these legalistic churches tell you. In my case, I preached every year. Somehow God finds a bigger test. I told this congregation last May, the attack of the devil, as every May he comes to silence this ministry. I have only one answer. Thus saith the Lord, He hath promised, and God is not a man to lie, nor the son of man to repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do? Hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? And I preached a few weeks ago, a couple. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, and there be no fruit in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, flocks shall be cut off from the fold, there be no herd in the stall, yet will I joy in the God, I will joy in the Lord and rejoice in the God of my salvation. One of those words means to jump with joy, and the other one is to spin with excitement. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? You believe that all the time when the peril falls on you? No. I run to the voice of the Sayer and I keep listening. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. through him that loved us, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angel nor principality, nor height nor depth, nor things present nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have taught you for 30 years, faith takes you home. Faith precludes boasting. We are created beings, but we have a listening and a speaking relationship with God. The 10th chapter of Romans, more powerful than this verse, talks about the Torah of Moses. Didn't work. And no righteousness came by it. So how do we get righteousness? Say not. How do we get healing? I'll extrapolate. How do we get anything that is promised in the law of faith? Say not that you will descend into the depths and bring him up to do the job for you. Or you will ascend into the heavens and bring him down to do the job for you. The word's already nigh you. The word. It's in your mouth. Speak it forth. For with the heart man believeth. No. Pistuo is the verb form. With the heart man faitheth. Not believeth. Faitheth. Believe and then act and then hang on. Till death if necessary, as Jesus did. With the heart man faitheth, with the mouth. Not confession, that's a mistranslation. Proclamation. Faith speak, I call it. You need to saturate yourself. I've given you 29, now going on 30 years, with faith speak. God blesses with his word. Promise speak. And we have to respond because it's a two-way street. With faith speak. For the heart man faitheth with the mouth. Proclamation is made unto salvation, soterion, which is health and well-being and eternal life being made secure. Works won't do it, folks. But I add one dimension as I leave this morning. Faith. Paul says in another place, the 8th chapter, what the law, Torah, of works could not do because it had no power. The spirit of life, which comes into us, and he calls it a law of the spirit of life. Another one of God's laws. God's law of the spirit of life connected and brought into effect with us by the law of faith. Faith law has power. Works Torah is powerless. It just condemns. It just shines the standard up. It just can say, you fell short. Faith's law is a catalyst of power. You know the difference between the law of gravity that holds me on the floor and the law of gravity, as gravity is a mathematical measurement of mass and force and other factors in physics. You can put it on a piece of paper. And the paper doesn't grab you. But that law in operation holds the planets in their place and keeps my feet on this platform and your whatever in your seat. Faith's law has power. I don't understand it. The one force that has never been truly analyzed and explained and is defied Einstein, which is why one of the last things was shot off up into space to try to break that barrier of understanding gravity. I understand face law. But when amen is turned loose with no doubt, it somehow is the catalyst that caused the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life, to enter us. And the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall so dwell in our mortal bodies. When you shove the other stuff of religion aside and take God at His word, and with the heart faith, and with the mouth become a talking faither, drive down the road with people thinking you're singing or talking to yourself. Faith speak. I'm not sharing with the congregation. If you want to know, watch the festival. But I'm under a new attack. Well, what am I going to do? I've lived by faith 50 years. I've preached faith for 50 years. I know what the faith speak is to claim. I know what the promise speak says. Blessed men go through. No matter how wide the valley, blessed men go through. Because blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. I know that when you're in darkness and have no light, trust in the name of the Lord and find one that fits you. I found a new one last week. My name is Impossibility. I add that to Jehovah. Jehovah who makes the possible of the impossible. I know what promise speak says. Bruised reeds he'll not break. Smoking flax shall he not quench. I know that giants fail. I've preached often on Elijah after his greatest victory under a juniper tree, wanting to die. Only then, you know what promise speak says, the God that I serve, only then he sent an angel to bake a cake for him. Didn't leave him there. Cut his eyes off of big things and got him back to where he started. Just listen to the still small voice, the speaking promiser. I know wherein I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know the promise speak. Mine is the faith speak. Yours, like mine, is an up and down walk. I have only one message for these 30 years. Keep doing what you've been doing. Got you where you are. What the Hebrews letter says, you remain the house of God if you keep doing what got him in you in the first place. We are more than conquerors. That's the promise. There's power. Power in faith action. The law of faith produces the influx of the living Spirit of God. That's the only way he's going to come in, when he sees faith. He provided everything. He wants a partner in eternity in his family that trusts him the way Jesus did. Through death, knowing the resurrection is firm and secure. It's the only way you make it secure. Go out swinging. I'm a long ways from going out, but I'm going out swinging to my dying breath. And I want a congregation that swings with me.